go with me to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, and we're going to begin a brand new series. We'll be preaching through. No way to preach it in one sitting. But as you're turning to Joshua chapter 1, in the light of what God's doing at our church, I had been preparing and studying and praying about what to do when the revival meeting was over, having no idea what God would do during the meeting. But as a pastor, it's my responsibility to sense where God is leading and what God is wanting to do, and also sense the temperature and where we are as a church so that we can know where we're headed. And I believe with all my heart this is a series and a set of sermons that will be beneficial to you and your family and to our church as a whole. And so we're going to look this morning at Joshua chapter number 1. And I'll probably preach some of this morning and come back this evening and preach some more. And then going forward, I'll probably just deal with this on Sunday evenings on this series. But I'm probably going to spend the whole day today. Not the whole day. I'll give you a break. But we'll spend this morning and tonight getting as far as we can in this one. Because we got, thank the Lord, we got the baptismal pool full and warm, and people, sinners that have been saved, ready to be baptized. And that's, just don't get no better than that. I promise, I'm looking forward to that. And there's some other big things going to happen at the end of the service. Big. I better hush because you won't be thinking about nothing I'm preaching except for that. But God's been doing some big things. And I'm looking forward to being able to the end of this service and baptizing these that have been saved more than I am. If there was a pot of fried chicken sitting over there and a big old thing of macaroni and all that good food y'all cook, I mean that. I'm hungry too. But I get excited when sinners get saved. And when we get to fill that baptistry up, that baptistry don't save anybody. Water don't save you. No more than that ring on my hand makes me married. But it identifies me to all you girls. As beautiful as I am off limits. I am spoken for. And baptism, listen, I'm married with a ring or not. And if you're saved, you're saved with baptism or not. But I wear this to let the world know I am spoken for. And that baptistry is to let the world know publicly what Christ has done for you intimately and personally. And so that's wonderful. We'll get to that in just a moment. Joshua chapter number 1. You know this text well, but let's stand to our feet. You've been seated a good while. We'll reverence God's word as we read together. Let you stretch for just a moment. If you're there, say amen. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be strong, be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. My, what a powerful portion of God's Word. And you know this text well, and don't let the commonality of it bore you. There ain't, and I'm not boasting in saying this, I'm making a truthful statement. If you've been in church as long as I have, there ain't much of the Bible that you're going to hear preached that you hadn't heard before. There ain't much that you're going to read that you hadn't read before. But you know what I found out after being in church 46 plus years and been preaching over half of that and been saved well over half of that? You know what I found out? Even the most familiar verses I know, even the ones that I can quote off the top of my head in my sleep, a man of God will get up and say, turn to John 3, 16, or turn to Psalm 23, or turn, name the familiar text, and he'll get up and out of nowhere the Holy Ghost will begin to illuminate things that I've never seen, though I've read it thousands of times, because his word's alive. And so don't let this being familiar rock you to sleep. No, mine, and learn to mine and dig and pay attention on purpose and ask God to show you something new from his word. So with that being read, and this being our thought this morning and moving forward, Canaan land, which is where God has taken the children of Israel from the wilderness, and he's taken them to Canaan land. Now this journey has been going on for a while, like decades, like 40 years. God delivered them from the captivity that they were in to Egypt. And you know that story, and I'm not going to go back and re-preach that, but God delivered them and split the Red Sea, and they walked across, and God delivered them, and God promised Abraham. He said, I'm going to give you this land, and everywhere that the sole of your foot will touch will be yours as an inheritance to you and your children. It's the promised land. Not promised by some man, but promised by God himself. And yet, they leave there, and what is about an 11-day journey from where they was to Canaan, where they were going, where they had been promised. 11 days. Fast forward 40 years. 40 years. They've been walking in circles. 40 years they have been wandering in the wilderness. Now, I want every Christian in this building to look up here at me for a minute. We just had revival. Some of you just got saved. Some of you are brand new babes in Christ. Your journey as a believer just began. Others of us have been saved a long, long time. And then there's others that somewhere in between. The same was true with the children of Israel. They were some that were elders. They were some that had been in the wilderness all 40 years. While there were others that had been born in the wilderness, and by no making of their own, there they was on the same parcel of ground with the same problems, with the same people, and they, by their own birth, they were born into wilderness and wandering. And God had done promised all of them, the elders, the middle-aged, and the younger ones, I've given you a land. I've promised you a land. I mean, and it ain't a land to where I've got to spoon feed you. It ain't a land where I've got to rain manna down from heaven. It ain't a land to where you just are merely making it. No, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's a land that I mean, grapes are big as basketballs, and it's the land that is beyond your wildest dream. There's a better land. As good as I've been to you in the wilderness, as good as I was when I saved you and delivered you out of Egyptian bondage, as good as I've been to you, even in the wilderness, while you wandered and while you waited and while you wasted time, I've got a land for you. I've promised it to you. And no matter who comes against you, I'll stand with you and I'll stand for you. I'll fight for you. And it's yours if you want it. So that sounds like a pretty good deal, don't it? It is a good deal. It's a great deal. Then why don't they have it yet?
Come on, brother.
40 years? And all they had to do was go get it? Here's a question. What are they waiting on? Good question. Ain't it? Wake up, look up, and speak up. That's a good question, ain't it? Let me turn the tables. Just like God delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, He delivered you from the bondage that sin had on you. And just like God parted the Red Sea and let you walk across on dry ground and delivered you and then let the waters come crashing in and destroy the enemy, He delivered you. God delivered you when He saved you. All that was back there in Egypt is under the blood, and you'll never, ever, ever have to deal with that again. God delivered you. And said, I've given you a brand new life. Where He promised them, I've given you a land. God promised you, I've given you life, and life more abundant. All you got to do is go get it. He promised, I'll take care of the giants. I'll take care of the enemies. I'll take care of the Jebusites and the Hittites. I'll take care of all the enemies that come up against you. No weapon that's formed against thee will prosper. I will guarantee this will be your land. Yeah. And it's a land of your dreams. Amen. It's something beyond your wildest imaginations. Amen. And yet, 4 decades later, they still ain't got there. Why? Why are we still where we are in the Christian life? Why are we, when God's promised to deliver us and give us such a greater, more powerful, more impactful, more important life than we're living right now, why have we settled? Why have we settled being okay where we are? Say it, I guess this is all they are to it. Manna's okay. And I know that there's a land that flows with milk and honey. And I know that He promised all this. And though I've never experienced it, I believe it's out there. Why ain't we going to get it? I'm preaching on the subject in this series, there's a new day dawning. For the children of Israel, something had changed. Moses had died. Joshua, Moses' minister, had stood up and stepped up and began leading by the call of God, began leading the charge. And Joshua said, by the grace of God, we're not going to live in this wilderness. By the grace of God, I'm not okay eating manna every day. I'm thankful for manna. I'm thankful for the gifts of God. I'm thankful for all that God, all the provisions God's provided us. But by the grace, he promised us more than this. He promised he would provide more than this. He promised Abraham. He promised Moses. And here we are. Anything less than that, We're living in defeat, and we're living less than what God has provided and planned. And Joshua said, I'm going to stand up. And Caleb said, give me that mountain. And God, he purposed in his heart. Hey, he lived wholesome. He said, I'm going to go after it. And I want to challenge and charge this church. There's a new day dawning. We're not, hey listen, I thank God for the past. I thank God for the rich heritage this church has. But we're not, hey listen, we're moving forward. We're going forward, and I encourage you, get in, get on board, because we're moving out. Amen. Amen. There's a new day dawning. Canaan land, it's just inside. I ain't talking about light years down the road. I'm talking about it's just right over there. It ain't far. You don't have to pull out a GPS to find it. It's right over there. And God, by His grace, has been moving us and gathering us and stirring, getting us ready for this new day that's dawning at Morningstar Baptist Church. He saved some of you so you didn't get left behind. He let some of the old saints of God who sit in the pews in that old building over there, and some for a little while here, he retired them and brought them on to glory by the name of Norma Smith. He took her on so he could get her to a funeral to hear the gospel so she could get saved and get on board and go to this land that we're headed for. I'm going. I hope you will. Sadly, please hear this part. Everybody ain't. Some that were promised it, they died in the wilderness. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness, and they never made it to this land of promise. Though it had been promised it, is that not a tragedy? It is. But hey, hear me. No more of a tragedy is it for those who have promised the land of flowing with milk and honey and the promised land, Canaan land. No more of a tragedy was for them to die in the wilderness and never see it or never make it or never taste the goodness of that land than is it a tragedy for born again believers living under grace to live less than what God has provided and willed and planned and prepared for you.
That's right.
Amen. And so by the grace of God, let's look at, quick as we can, there's a new day dawning. Canaan land. Listen, in the church age, in the age and hour we're living in, there's a lot of misunderstandings surrounding Christianity. Yeah. Even among Christians. Even among what are called Bible-believing Christians, that there are things, now there are doctrines that we can afford to disagree on. Then there's some that I'd have to part fellowship with you over. I mean, if you get up and say that Jesus is not deity, then me and you ain't going to be able to fellowship. If you get up and say there's errors, hey, this goes out on the World Wide Web. You get up and say there's errors in this King James Bible, I'm going to have a hard time fellowshipping with you. Are you hearing me? But there's other doctrines that we can disagree on and still fellowship. Here's one, and it's just a misunderstanding, and it's just where some preacher along the way didn't do enough studying, and some saint of God didn't do enough reading, before they begin speaking, and some songwriter begin writing songs that wasn't backed up doctrinally. And that is a great, great error, because it gets in the hearts and minds of people. And that's how doctrines are spread falsely. What is the doctrine I'm speaking of? I'm not going to fall out with you over it, and you ain't going to die and go to hell if you're wrong about it. But Canaan land is not a picture of heaven. And there's been songs written that Canaan land is heaven. It ain't. There's been messages preached about how Canaan land is heaven. It ain't. Because listen, when they made it to Canaan land, there were still giants in the land. When they made it to Canaan land, there were still battles to fight. When they made it to Canaan land, there were still wars raging, tears falling. And I'm here to tell you, in heaven, none of those things will be there. Canaan land is not a picture of heaven. Canaan land is a picture of the spirit-filled life of the believer. Amen. If you don't agree with me, I'll take my time, and I'll show you from the Word of God. And I just give you plenty enough reason to doubt why you'd believe the other way. None of that. The Bible said, the former things shall pass away. He's going to wipe every tear away. Heaven, there ain't going to be no more war. There ain't going to be no more separating. Thank God. There ain't going to be no more funerals. But in Canaan, there were still people dying, still people fighting, still people warring. So that can't be what Canaan land was about. The truth of the matter is there is nothing. Listen, you go to the local Bible store, which somebody asked me before service, said, where can I get my, my mama wants her name printed on her Bible. You know how you get that done? And I said, you used to just go to Christian Supply. And you could. But there ain't no Christian Supply no more. And so I don't know. And a lot of places quit doing it. If they didn't make the Bible, they wouldn't want to take the chance of spelling it wrong. And I said, I don't know. Ask my wife. She deals with that and can get you an answer. And she told me, if any of you wonder, Serendipity, is that the name of it? Southerndipity? What is, I don't know what Serendipity is. Southerndipity. And so I told them. But my point is, used to, you could go to a Christian bookstore. Now you can go online or on your phone and just look around at just books upon books upon books for Christian people. And you know what? The majority of what you'll see in a Christian bookstore or online at a Christian online bookstore, you know what the majority of it will be about? How to make the Christian life easy. How to make being a Christian easy. How to make the church more sociable for the world and more inviting for the world. There's all kind of plans. There's all kind of books been written about it. Go look. There's just a problem with that I have. The Christian life ain't easy. And I don't care who wrote a book or who preached a sermon or who wrote a song. I've got a book, and this book tells me that the Christian life is not easy. It's a hard life. And listen, the way of the transgressor is hard. And I'll give you that. Listen, being a Christian ain't easy. It ain't for sissies. This ain't a playground. It's a battlefield. But the way of the transgressor is harder.
That's right.
So take your medicine, whichever one, pick one, because they ain't none of them easy. Life ain't easy. And I don't care how many self-help books are written in the Christian bookstore, they're wrong. Read this one, and it'll tell you the truth. By the way, the church ain't supposed to conform to the world.
That's right.
Oh, I ain't got time for that this morning, but that gets under my skin. How somebody going to write how the church can become more conformable? How we can be more inviting and welcoming to sinners? How about we just be what God said to be, holy, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, where they can see the contrast. If we becoming like the world, and the world's so churchy, and the church is so worldly, nobody can tell anything apart.
Right.
The world needs to see that the church is a light that's shining bright, and that there is standards and there is differences, and that we still believe right is right and wrong is wrong, and there is a heaven above our head and a hell beneath our feet. There still is a God in heaven. There still is a devil. Hey, listen, there still is right. There still is wrong. Now, you was either born a boy or a girl.
That's right.
Not in between. You don't wake up one morning. You young people, listen to me. You don't wake up one morning and decide what you are. You are what God made you. Are you listening? And so, the truth is, ain't nothing easy or acceptable to the world about the Christian life. It ain't. I'm not going to get up here and lie to you. Being a Christian, Joshua didn't get up and lie to these people. And God, when God was speaking to Joshua, over and over in our text, over and over, he said, only be thou courageous, only be not afraid, only be strong, be strong. Why would he say that if it was so easy? Why was God encouraging and going over and over and repeating himself over and over, be strong, have courage, be not afraid. Because if it was a walk in the park, God wouldn't have needed to say that one time, much less three or four. God knew Joshua was going to need the word of the Lord to back him up and to put some courage in him and to promise him and to ensure him that there were hard days ahead. There were giants ahead. God wasn't sugarcoating this. And Joshua, the man of God, wasn't sugarcoating it either. And by the way, in the same text, and we're going to look at it later on this evening, the same text said, oh, I preached this morning about the promises of God and Canaan lands just inside, and praise the Lord, hallelujah, woo! Land that flows with milk and honey. What a promise. Ain't that great? What a deal. It is. In the same text, you go read it. I said, don't deviate from that word. You better love my law. You better keep connected with my book, because you're going to need it. Because it ain't easy. And if you think for 1 minute this morning that you can live the Christian life on your own, away from that word, away from the word of God, and make it, you'll die in the wilderness. Your carcass will fall in the wilderness, and you will never taste one drop of milk and honey in the Christian life. Amen. You'll never ever see Canaan. Amen. You hear me? So the question is, and I'll just bring it to a close this morning. I know our time's about gone, and I ain't even got to the introduction. I ain't even got to the introduction to my introduction. But that's all right. We got till Jesus comes. It's all right. Listen, here's the question. Let me just clarify what I've said this morning. Canaan land is right over there. And I'm not talking about for the children of Israel. I'm talking about for you. The victorious Christian life, the Spirit-filled life, that the devil's convinced most of us we can't have, is almost within touching distance. It's right over there. The devil will try to convince us it's halfway around the world, and there's no point in even trying to attain it, because you can't get there from here. I come here to tell you this morning, that's a lie. There's a new day dawning. Canaan land's just in sight. If it's in sight, I don't know about you, mine's getting worse by the day. But with the help of these, I can see through two doors and even three doors. I can see all the way out through the Family Life Center from right where I stand and see a car. That ain't that far. There are some obstacles in between me. I'm going to have to physically open some doors, three, four or more, to get there. But I can see it. It's right over there. It ain't halfway around the world. It's not impossible. The devil's convinced you this is good as it gets. Quit trying. Throw your Bible down. Quit trying to pray. Quit trying to be faithful to church. Quit tithing. Quit. Just, what's the point? Here's the point. It's right there. A life that I've never experienced is right there. He's a liar. Tell him. You say, I can't do this. You're right. You can't. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can live the life. You can, through Christ, do anything. And it's right. It's right there. I can't jump to it, but I can start making some steps. And in just a little bit of time and fighting people along the way, I can get there in no time. If I try and make up my mind, that's where I want to go. Now, if I see it, say it's there, I'll get to it one day. Chances are, in 40 years, you're going to be sitting on the same pew doing the same thing, having accomplished nothing and having a life that has been an absolute waste when God promised you all of this and heaven too.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. God, for opening my eyes, God, to the lies of the devil. I remember being lost. I remember believing the lies of the devil and thinking I was okay. I remember believing his lies and thinking I could never do that until you, Lord, opened my eyes and let me see through the eye of faith a life that you had provided for me. And God, now I'm living the dream. Lord, I'm living my dream, things I never dreamed I could do, experiences I never dreamed I would have. Lord, I'm living it. And God, I pray if nothing else is done this morning, that you would help and reveal to every believer, God, the dreams that they have given up on, the life they thought they was going to get and live in being a Christian. And they feel let down. And they feel like, is this all there was to it? I pray you would reveal and give open revelation through your word and show to them there's so much more than what we're living. There's a new day dawning. Canaan land is just in sight. A life that we've dreamed of, a life that we desire, is right around the corner. Help us, Lord, to be willing. Help us, Lord, to be courageous. Help us, Lord, to be willing to leave where we are. A place of ease, a place of comfort, a place where you feed us every day, where we don't have to work for it. And be willing to go fight giants to obtain and gain a land of promise. That's what this church needs. Hey, listen, husband, daddy, believe it or not, that's what your children need. That's what your wife needs. They need a man of valor that'll stand up and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to quit taking food stamps from God. I'm going to quit being on welfare from God and taking the manna and just taking what's easy. By the grace of God, I'm going to be the man God called me to be, and I'm going to see Canaan. I'm going to see a life that I want my children to experience, where there's milk and honey and giant grapes and a land of promise. Because the chances are your children will never see it and they'll never experience it until they get a mom and daddy who's willing to get tired of where they're living and be willing to move toward that land of promise. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder this morning,